Blessings to you all and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is Hebrews 1, 1 to 14. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 14. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom also He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So He became as much superior to the angels as the name He has inherited is superior to theirs. The Son superior to angels, for to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my Son, today I have become your Father"? Or again, "I will be His Father and He will be my Son"? And again, when God brings His firstborn into the world, He says, "Let all God's angels worship Him." In speaking of the angels, He says, "He makes His angels spirits and His servants flames of fire." But about the Son, He says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." He also says, "In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a rope. Like a garment they will be changed, but you remain the same, and your years will never end." To which of the angels did God ever say, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? My theme for reflection is when God speaks fully. When God speaks fully. There are moments when we realize that a long conversation has reached its decisive sentence. You have listened patiently, gathered hints, read signs, and weighed different voices, and then someone finally says what truly matters. Hebrews opens like that moment, not noisy, not dramatic, but quietly final. God has spoken before, often and variously, but now God has spoken fully. The problem Hebrews addresses is not ignorance of God, but confusion about authority, permanence, and hope. The early Christian community knew the prophets, revered angels, and honored the long story of God's dealings with Israel. Yet in a world of pressure, uncertainty, and competing loyalties, there was a temptation to treat Jesus as simply one voice among many. Important, yes, but not decisive, not definitive. Hebrews insists that this will not do. Fragmented listening leads to fragile faith. The text moves carefully from problem to resolution. God has always been speaking, at many times and in various ways, through prophets, visions, poetry, law, and wisdom. None of these were wrong, all were gifts, but they were partial, provisional, and preparatory. What God has now done is not to speak more, but to speak fully. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. The resolution to human confusion is not another message, but a person. The Son is not merely a messenger. He is described in language that strains the limits of human speech, the radiance of God's glory, the exact imprint of God's being, the one through whom the universe was made and by whom it is sustained. Where prophets pointed beyond themselves and angels served God's purposes, the Son embodies God's presence. As Karl Barth famously put it, God does not reveal something, God reveals himself. In Christ, God does not send information about salvation, God comes personally to save. Hebrews then addresses another human tendency, the desire to cling to impressive intermediaries. Angels fascinated the ancient world. They still fascinate ours. They feel powerful, mysterious, and safe. Yet Hebrews gently but firmly reorders things. Angels are honored, but they are servants, not heirs. The minister, but the Son reigns. There are flames and winds. The Son has a throne that lasts forever. The resolution here is clarity, knowing who is central and who is supportive. This matters deeply for us today. We live in an age of endless voices, religious, political, digital, spiritual, each claiming authority over our attention. Many of them are not false, they are simply secondary. Hebrews invites us to stop living as if salvation depends on managing all these voices and instead to anchor our lives in the one who remains the same when everything else wears out. An Old Testament echo helps us hear this clearly. Psalm 102 speaks of a world that changes like a garment while God remains unchanged. Hebrews applies this directly to the Son, reminding us that what Israel trusted of God alone is now revealed in Christ. The unchanging faithfulness of God is no abstraction. It has a face. For Christian people worldwide, this passage calls us to confidence without arrogance and humility without fear. If Christ truly sustains all things by his word, then our lives are not held together by anxiety, control, or endless effort. We are upheld. If he has already provided purification for sins, then guilt need not be the loudest voice in our hearts. If he is seated at God's right hand, then history is not drifting, it is directed. So we need not bend ourselves into knots to satisfy manipulators who trade in fear, shame, or false accusations. The voice that defines us is not the loudest critic, but the risen Christ. To stand firm in honesty and goodness is not stubbornness, it is faith. To refuse guilt we do not owe is not pride, it is freedom. Let others attempt to distort, pressure, or provoke, we remain anchored. For when Christ is Lord, integrity is strength, truth is shelter, and no amount of coercion can make us become what we are not. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, where have I been treating secondary voices, success, fear, approval, even religious activity as if they were ultimate? Number two, what would change in my daily life if I truly trusted that Christ is sustaining all things, including me? And now our practical exercise for the day. Choose a short phrase from this passage, such as the radiance of God's glory or sustaining all things, and return to it in moments of stress, letting it recenter your attention on Christ rather than your circumstances. Living God, you who spoke through prophets and now speak fully through your Son, quiet the noise within us. Where we are distracted, center us in Christ. Where we are weary, remind us that He sustains all things. Where we are anxious, help us trust that your purposes are secure. Teach us to listen deeply, follow faithfully, and live confidently in the light of your final and gracious word, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all now and forevermore. Amen.